The transition. The next morning was cold and cloudy. My heart ached as I walked into Marshall's hospital room. There was no change in his condition. His head was hanging much lower than it did the evening before, and his mouth was open much wider. His neck had to hurt him. I just knew he had to be thirsty with his mouth opened like that. I thought, why haven't they swabbed his lips and mouth with cool water? Why haven't they done more to make him comfortable? Blood from his head wound was still in his white hair. It looked pinkish. Then I remembered Marshall was in the family comfort room, the dying room. Why would they do anything to make him comfortable? Again, I felt the sarcasm in my thoughts. I took some water from my bottle and wet Marshall's lips and kissed him good morning. For most of the day, our family sat watching Marshall and quietly talking to each other. He never moved. We took turns going to the cafeteria to get something to eat. Later in the day, I sat on the chair near an empty bed in the room, looking at Marshall. I knew instinctively that he would not cross over that day as the nurse had told us he would. Nor would he cross over the next day or the next. I could feel his energy. Marshall was upset that he had done something so silly, attempting to drive our golf cart up a hill of ice. I knew he did not want to leave me alone. He was my eternal love, my rock, and my life. He knew I would have a difficult time without him. You could leave first, I promise, he would say. He often teased me, joking that I would have to leave first or I would starve. You see, Marshall did all the cooking and baking. But I was not thinking about his promise as I sat there. I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that Marshall would not want to be trapped in a body that was unable to respond. Neither one of us was afraid of dying. We had already planned our destination in the afterlife so that just in case something like this happened, we would always know where to find each other. I was deeply in love with Marshall. I had never met anyone like him. He knew that love is not just a thought or a physical desire. True love is a feeling that fills your whole being with a knowing that you love and you are loved. You could not keep him trapped in a body without hope of regaining consciousness. The day before, with a clearer mind, I had abandoned the unrealistic idea of bringing Marshall home. That would never work. I began to feel my heart stirring within and knew that it was Marshall reminding me that we would always be able to communicate with each other. In that moment, I saw a clear image of our last book, Light from the Heavens, and instantly knew why I was seeing it. In this book, there was a drawing that revealed a breathing method to use to ease our crossing when it was our time to leave our physical bodies. Marshall was reminding me that we could lift to our agreed meeting place, our destination in the afterlife, our mountain. We knew where to find one another. If one of us left our physical body before the other, we were to go to the mountain and communicate and be together. That was our plan. I felt a glimmer of hope and knew that regardless of our locality, our book on the afterlife would be written. I knew this message was coming from Marshall. His message and love uplifted me, even as he sat still and motionless in that bed. I knew beyond a shadow of doubt that Marshall was very aware of everything that was happening. Our meeting place in the afterlife is a specific mountain that we had traveled to in our meditations over the past 15 years. The mountain is a beautiful place across from seven other mountains, all of which form a complex of healing facilities. Our source of inspiration are teachers Sri Yukasthar and Paramahansa Yogananda greeted us joyfully always. I knew that if I took Marshall over to the mountain using our breathing method, they would be both welcome and help in restoring his energy. However, the thought occurred to me that we had never had the opportunity to test this breathing method given to us by our teachers. Could I trust the untested method to help my love cross over, I wondered. What if it would not work? Would it? Could I harm him in any way? I intuitively heard Sri Yukistar say with conviction, "Yes, of course you can trust it. I would not have given you the method if I did not know it would work." Of course he was correct. Sri Yukistar was very wise and very reliable. He had been bringing through images and messages in my drawings for years. I call my art form Antara art, which simply means allowing images to flow into one's art pad for greater understanding. Marshall and I always enjoyed interpreting the images that covered a variety of subjects and conveyed meaningful messages. We gained so much knowledge through this method. As I think about Marshall's accident and the days that followed, I am amazed at how quickly the fear of losing Marshall overtook me, overshadowing my absolute trust of spirit. Over the past 50 years, I have written many books, developed several transpersonal psychotherapeutic techniques, and received messages from a variety of inspirational sources. And yet my fear momentarily blinded me. Sri Yukistar interrupted my thoughts. I heard him say, "Do not be so hard on yourself. This occasion is why this method was given to you. It will help Marshall and many others as you share it." This message silenced the voices of fear. I stared at Marshall, my husband, my partner, my love of 33 years, as he lay in that sterile, cold bed with his head tilting to one side and his mouth hanging open. I closed my eyes and silently asked God to guide my words and hand. I was ready and knew Marshall was ready. He would not, for any reason, desire to be trapped in a useless body. He would want to be on the mountain, our planned destination in the afterlife. I knew that we could be together in our meditations until it was time for me to join him. I leaned over the raised railing on the empty hospital bed that was between us. It was hard and cold. I could clearly see Marshall. I began by silently communicating with Marshall, telling him what I was doing. I imagined that I placed Marshall's left hand underneath my right hand, as we had always done in our meditations. I imagined using my thumb to rub the inside of his hand so he could feel and know it was me. He did. I could feel his energy respond in like manner. I continued to rub the inside of his left hand until I could feel a suction forming in our hands, bonding us. I felt God's love in our hearts and hands as I proceeded with the breathing method like I knew exactly what I was doing. I was in the process of beginning to help my love cross over to his new life. I began talking softly, but loud enough that I knew he could hear me. Breathe in light. As I spoke the words, I took a long inhale that accentuated the sound of inhaling. I then said, "Now let's exhale." I puckered my lips and exhaled, making a loud whistling sound, demonstrating what he should also do. When I ran out of breath, I repeated the method. "Let's take another deep breath. Breathe in light," making a sucking and whistling sound as I inhaled. "Now again, let's exhale," making a whistling sound as you breathe out your physical life. I could feel Marshall responding. After continuing to do the breathing, leaning over the hard bed rails for 2 hours, Marshall began responding with a loud, distinct sound when he exhaled. It was the first sound that he had made since he had arrived at the hospital. As I continued to demonstrate the whistling sound of exhaling, he began to make distinct, short, loud sounds. It sounded like he was grunting, "Ugh." I immediately thought it was a protest sound. I responded by saying, "No, we breathe out this way." And then I would make a louder whistling exhale, instructing him to breathe out his physical life. He continued exhaling for the next 2 hours with the same loud grunting sound, "Ugh." I would repeat each time, "Let's exhale," making a whistling sound as you breathe out your physical life. Marshall has since told me that his grunts were not a protest. It was the only sound he could make. Our friend Nancy Sloan, a hospice worker for 25 years, later explained this respiratory sound is known as the grunt. She further explained, not everyone will have this respiratory sound and some mistake it for distress, but it is not. It is mostly reflexive. But as Marshall told you, it was the only sound he could make. Marshall's consciousness was higher than most people, so it was probably intentional. I think what you did helped the process along. He could have lingered in the hospital for hours or even days. Marshall's consciousness was extremely developed. I could feel him with me each step of the way as I was helping him go to his new life. I could feel his energy interacting with mine. I suddenly became aware that he was consciously cooperating with me. I love Marshall so much, I knew that I had to ask Divine Mother to help me. I knew that he would be okay and was definitely ready to go. Family quietly and privately said their goodbyes to Marshall. I was so happy that Divine Mother was with him to take him to our mountain. Marshall had a special love for Divine Mother after visiting Mother Mira in Germany 20 years earlier. Marshall told me later, through images on my art pad, that he was conscious of everything that was happening in the hospital room. He told me that he had floated in and out of the hallway several times. He said he had no control of his body most of the time, and that he felt like a balloon, but assured me that he had not suffered at all. The last time he floated into the hallway and returned to the room, he saw something he had not seen before, something like a tunnel. As he looked into it, he could see a slight light at the end. At first, it startled him. Marshall entered the tunnel and moved towards the light. He realized that it helped him focus on my voice. He said he heard my plea for Divine Mother's help and assured me that he knew we would never truly be separated. With tears trickling down my cheeks, I continued the process. I could see from the medical equipment attached to him that Marshall's breathing had gradually slowed to a minute between breaths, then, after a while, to a minute and a half between breaths. And then, a short while later, my love took his last breath. A nurse that was watching in the hallway rushed in with an instrument. She wanted to make sure his heart had stopped to record his time of death. I asked her to wait a few moments. I was concerned that a cold, hard instrument on his heart so soon could possibly draw him back into his body. She proceeded anyway. Fortunately, it had no effect on him. I thanked God that he had not suffered during the process of crossing over. I could feel him soaring towards the light. Marshall was on his way to the mountain. I knew his beloved spiritual teachers would be there to greet him. It was an experience like no other I have ever had. I knew how much I loved Marshall and trusted Spirit to be able to do what had just been done. I was totally depleted but joyful for Marshall. I knew beyond a shadow of doubt exactly where he was. He was in good hands, and I would be able to communicate with him again soon. I closed my eyes before leaving the hospital room and said, "Thank you, Divine Mother." And then I looked at Marshall and said, "Well done, baby. I love you so much. I'll see you soon on the mountain." I was numb and exhausted. I knew that I would have to walk into our home, and Marshall would not be waiting for me. He would not be there to put his arms around me and kiss me as he always did. I would not receive the tiny, beautiful wildflowers that he would pick for me each day while on his morning walk with our dog Buddha. How could I possibly ever live without him? My grief was building. At this point, I did not know if I could or even wanted to live without him. But I did return home as memories arose and I felt Marshall's loving presence. The next morning, I felt compelled to go to my art room. I resisted, feeling numb and tired, but I could feel Marshall's presence. It was strong. I sat and drew, not thinking, not feeling. I just drew. Looking at the images I had drawn, I understood his concern. He wanted me to release the pain, the tremendous loss I was feeling. He said the images of water illustrate the healings he would need. He wanted me to give an important message. In his words, he said, "Do not perceive yourself as if you have lost an arm. Turn around and look higher up. You will see our spiritual selves in blue walking down the steps. We are and will always be together through our purpose of helping others. You are my beautiful one. I love you." It was important to hear this message. In the second drawing of the morning, Marshall describes more about his feelings and what he saw and experienced in the hospital room when he was crossing over at the death of his physical body. In his own words, I read, "As I was leaving my body, I was conscious of everything that was happening. The feeling of floating in space went on forever, it seemed. I felt huge. I had no control over my movement. I felt like a whale, but I was not afraid. I could see my children and wished they could see me. I knew I would need healings. Our inspirational teachers gave me a picturesque explanation of why my energy was like scrambled eggs because of the accident." In the next few days, Marshall confirmed the healings he received after arriving on the mountain. He said the mountain felt like home to him when he first arrived, and that was a wonderful feeling. We had traveled there over many years in our meditations, but now Marshall was there, and I was still on Earth. I temporarily consoled myself with the thought, everything happens for a reason. I knew eventually I would discover that reason. In the coming days, Marshall shared many more of his experience with all of us through images on my art pad. Over the years, we used my art pad to bring through and interpret messages from our many meditations. Our teachers had long ago taught us to use this method for greater understanding of spirit. Marshall describes his feelings upon his arrival on the mountain. Most importantly, it includes images of the healing he received when he arrived. Marshall describes his arrival on the mountain in his own words. "I felt like a duck out of water. Like I had no control of my body. When I first arrived on the mountain, I felt the need for healing. My thought manifested immediately. I became still and focused on my healings. I am in pink, lying on a bed of love and light. I saw a beautiful golden light leading to a dolphin, and I saw you in the same color as the dolphin. I felt you were confirming your presence by sending an image of the dolphin. It reminded me of the work you did with dolphins in the Florida Keys years ago. I felt like I had 360-degree vision. I saw myself behind and above me, being carried in something by a being in white. I was aware of things above and below me. I saw an interesting vertical tube in the distance, much like the tunnel I was in when you were helping me cross over. This aroused my curiosity. I knew there must be purpose in both tunnels. The next drawing was equally meaningful, again in Marshall's words, talking to me. As I lifted beyond the physical realm, something unusual happened. Divine Mother was carrying light. I felt it was an unconditional love. My profile in gray is between the bottom disc and Mother. There were two discs above me. I asked Mother what the discs were. She said they contained our lifetimes together and that I would be able to review them later. My side profile in gray is under the first disc. You are dressed in blue with the light of our purpose in your heart. You are leaning on our book, which is lit with three layers of light. I knew I would remember everything I left behind on Earth. I will forever carry your spirit of love with me. We have always been at our best, sharing and completing spiritual purposes together. I felt like I was carrying a memory of our present lifetime and plan to never again be separated by a thought of death. Thank God we are still together in our open communication because we had planned for this moment. I feel my love for you now as I always have. We will meet soon in our open communication on the mountain after some healing occurs for both of us. Notice the horse in the garden of the wildflowers. The horse is for your strength during this difficult time. The wildflowers are the ones I have delighted to bring you in the mornings. The rainbow is to remind you that my inspiration will always be with you in everything you do and every word you write. If you have not already noticed, at times you type a line, then stop, then type it again in a different way. This book will be a challenge, but then everything we have done together has been a challenge. In the next drawing, Marshall confirmed that he had been in our home more times than I realized. The darkness on the left represents the sorrow and emptiness that I was feeling and that Marshall could feel from me. He reminds through this drawing that death is an illusion. There is life after life. In his own words below, there is life after life. This is only the transition to our new home on the mountain. I know it is natural to feel sad, but you know I am with you. You are always together in our open communication and in our shared purpose of writing our book. You are always in my heart. Marshall answers a question about the death of our physical body. As I began to share Marshall's transition to the afterlife with friends and family, several people asked questions to pose to Marshall, questions that related to the death of the physical body. Here are some of those questions and Marshall's responses. Question: what was the actual passing like? When passing starts to happen, what was that like? This seems to be the aspect of dying that many patients fear. Marshall's response: it is important to share upfront that I felt no pain. As I was leaving my body, I felt like a whale. in the sky at times, big and a little out of place. It felt like I took a tight vest off my entire physical body. I had a feeling of freedom. I floated out of the room into the hallway. I understood that feeling spacious, larger than the physical body, is the sensation one typically feels as he is leaving the physical body and beginning to experience aspects of their fourth dimensional body. As I was leaving my body, I was conscious of everything that was happening. The feeling of floating in space seemed to go on for a long time. I had no control over my movement. At no time did I feel afraid. Please assure your patients that it was not a frightening experience, especially if one knows what to expect, which I did. I understand people's fear, for if we suddenly started floating in our home, not yet realizing what was happening, it would certainly be frightening. This is why I believe it was important to know the feelings and sensations that occur. Being aware of the process that occurs in between took away all my feelings of fear. I speak about death as one who knows the matter from both the outer world experience and from inner life experience. Know that there is no death. As you know, there is only the entrance into a fuller life. There is freedom from the handicaps of the fleshy vehicle. The much dreaded rendering process does not exist, except in cases of violent and sudden death. Even then, there is still nothing to fear. If something unpleasant occurs, it is no more than something approaching a quick electric shock, no more. For the ordinary person, death is a continuance of the living process in his consciousness and a carrying forward of the interests and tendencies of his life. The consciousness and sense of awareness are the same and unaltered in the next dimension. What we think and desire happens instantly, without time in between to change your mind as we have on Earth. This knowledge alone allows one to realize the need to prepare before death of the physical body. I see this with clarity from my perspective. Preparing ourselves and planning our destination in the afterlife is extremely important. Now that I have experienced the unexpected death of my physical body, I realize the great value and blessings of being able to continue my relationship with my loved ones. I hope my answer has helped you and your patients.